Yeah, we're gearing up, and I'm super excited for the home preseason opener. Obviously, not to be mistaken by the Monday night. Yes, Monday night game versus the Bucks, right? The home opener, week two.
Yeah, Monday night.
It's Monday night.
Yeah, Monday night.
I was about to say, the way that you looked at me at first, I was like, damn, I messed up, didn't I? Not to be mistaken with that. Actual
I keep forgetting that it's a Monday night game. Opener. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, that's a good way to kick off your home opener.
Mm-hmm. That'll be fun. I mean, you can't knock it because your home opener last year was against the Bears. Mm-hmm. And that was Sunday night, wasn't it? So yeah, man, this feels good. Prime time Texans.
I guess that was the home opener.
Yeah, Texans, baby. You love to see it. But before you get there, you've got this preseason game. You've got next week's preseason game against the Lions, and then you've also got the joint practice versus the Lions. Mm-hmm. Those are really the three game-like opportunities that you have in order to see how confident you are in this offensive line and be ready for it. And honestly, I'm still wondering, I mean, about the preseason games themselves, because you imagine that one of those is where you get your starters out there. But you look down, you know, kind of the news wire of sorts of various teams and how they're handling the second preseason game, which is obviously tomorrow or tonight, depending on what team you're talking about. And there's more of them that are getting out here that are saying they're not going to start their starters in this game. I know that Todd Bowles said that Baker Mayfield won't play in this game. I know that there's been other teams that are like, actually, you know what? We're not running our starters out this week. I don't know if that means that they'll go back to week three being kind of a dress rehearsal of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But are we actually going to even see this offensive line in full, at least the starters out there? And what is that also going to mean for the opportunity to get this offensive line right, especially or to find the level of confidence that you want going into week one?
Yeah, you know, what do you have to see? Okay, so first on that, I feel as if the first team offense and defense will play one series on Saturday. I can't guarantee that, though, based on what you just talked about and what's going on around the NFL. It's a different world in the preseason now with the joint practices. They got a lot out of yesterday.
Cardinals not playing their starters Sunday. And now, if we compare that, the Broncos, I think they're a little bit more established as a team. The Cardinals, I'm going to be honest, that's one of my blind spots. I need to actually tap in with what the Cardinals have been doing. It's not the most important thing to see as they're in the they're on the other side, the NFC. But no, there's a number of teams that it feels like also still have a little bit of developing that also still aren't playing starters.
But I think we're going to see CJ Stroud and the ones and of course the defenses. The starting unit, presumed starting unit there, one series. And especially on the offensive side, new offense, they had the joint practices practice, but they haven't really gone out in a game situation. Also, Nick Caley's going to be calling plays from the sideline. I feel like they want to get at least one good look with the starting offense, one series. Now, if the series is a three and out, maybe two, but one series in essence, all right?
Yeah.
I think the offensive line might go two or more. They might go two series or more because they have to. You know, they have to be able to find some semblance of, you know, the thing that D'Amico's talked about. Like, once we get our five, we're gonna move forward with these guys. You know, getting to know each other a little better, getting used to playing. Together, etc. So,
and we're blowing through the stop signs on when we thought we would have a good idea of this.
Yes,
now, of course, that's been complicated by the Cam Robinson injury, talking to Nick Caley, Nick Caserio, Payne Pendergast, that was a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it seem like by the end of this week that we would kind of be in that place. And I don't know. Are we in that place?
Mm-hmm. I don't think we are. And that's why I think they're going to play tomorrow. Defense, a little dicier. You can get away with sitting your guys. Clearly some guys are going to sit, you know, maybe have a little bit of a nick or something. But I think we're going to see the starters one series. I can't guarantee that because the league and the preseason is just different now.
All right, that out of the way, right? Whenever we do have an opportunity to see them, what are you needing to see to get you some level of comfortable? I don't think anybody's going to be 100% comfortable going into week one. And I don't know that you should. We've talked about it a number of times, but just to reiterate, there's a lot of moving pieces that you established from the outset of the offseason that you have to get figured out, starting with hiring a first-time play caller as your offensive coordinator and moving Cole Popovich up, not kind of changing the talent level of this offensive line to a higher degree that some of us were clamoring for. Like, I think you have a number of rookies that you're anticipating being big-time playmakers. Mm-hmm. All of those things include different learning curves that make it so that being fully polished in week one, in addition to the normal things that make it difficult to being fully polished in week one, I think that all of those things are in play. But maximum confidence level, what gets you to that place?
I think
what
three things. I think three things are going to help me feel better. As you mentioned, nobody's going to feel great going in because it's just going to be impossible given the ups and downs and the amount of time left. Like you said, there's only really only three more opportunities for and really two in terms of game type situations. Game tomorrow, joint practice, and maybe a good practice on Tuesday because they're going to have a walkthrough on Monday where they can evaluate. Because the last
you can't even take that last preseason
the last preseason game's out the window. That's going to be back very, very, very back of the roster, playing for another team.
Probably, you could see a man rush east a whole bunch.
Rush east. Well, I don't know. We'll see. That'll be actually a tell. But three things tomorrow that I'm looking for that I think will make me feel a little better. Number one.
Ding.
Yes. Number one. Ding. Is the where is it anyway? The run game.
Oh, I forgot we had the bell.
Yeah. The run game. I've said it multiple times. I don't think this is going to be necessarily an explosive offense. The run game may not, you might not see a bunch of 20-yard, 25-yard runs, but just no negative plays. It derailed so many drives last year. You know, you run on first down, you lose 3 yards. You run on second down, you lose three more yards. You're facing third and 16. You know, how many times have we seen that? Just some positive gains, no negative yards in the run game. That's number one for me, you know, with this. Number two, I want to see a pocket because so far, C.J. Stroud, when he's had success, you know, when the first team offense has had success passing the ball, it's been boom, boom, throw. You know, that first read, get it open. I want to see a good drop back, build a pocket, protect C.J. Stroud, maybe throw the ball a little deeper. Can these – we haven't really seen them. You know, we've seen them have success protecting C.J. Stroud. But oftentimes it's been like short routes, short dropbacks.
Yeah, that's true. And to be fair, it does feel like that's kind of what some of this offense is geared up to, at least what we can consider the more vanilla versions of this offense that you're going to get at this time of year. There's been an uptick significantly compared to last year and previous years in their quick game, which, hey, sign me up.
I don't mind.
Like, quick game is good for, you know, obviously helping your offensive line, but then also, you know, helping your run game. Again, we always invoke the Patriots, maybe more than what I imagine some people want to hear. But one of the things I always turn to the Patriots to about, and I'm always very, very fascinated by, is how they completely just, we are going to make up for not having a run game at points with just quick passing. And so if you're able to do that, you know, significantly well, you might be able to mitigate whatever, you know, run issues that you have. But I'm with you, right? I want to see push, like not just run game. I want to see the offensive line generate push to where yards before contact. We're seeing that as an uptrend. But then, yeah, the actual, you know,
can protection. They protect C.J. Stroud? Obvious passing situation. You've got to push the ball downfield.
Pin your ears back type situation.
I want to see that.
Okay.
I want to see that. Now, the 8-3-2 brought it up for an entirely different reason. I'm not worried about this, but I know some people are. I want to see a long pass. Or at least an attempt, he says or she says, to put my mind at ease that CJ is completely healthy.
Look at you.
What's that?
Considering that all the different people that could be texting.
Hey,
that's
women
nice.
Love us, man. And
they love half of us.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Actually, two-thirds. I didn't mean to do that.
So, but, you know, there has been out there early in the season, hey, man, he's been a little bit off target, et cetera. I mean, early in the preseason and camp. He's been better of late, but I get that. I get that. You want to see that accuracy, especially on the long ball, is still there. The third thing for me, it's going to be hard to emulate other than maybe the joint practice against the Lions.
Sure.
Red zone. You know, the red zone is going to be – it's a battle of wheels up front. You're going to be facing a really good – a good front tomorrow, a really good front against the Lions. And how's your red zone success going to be? And who are your targets? You know, what's it going to look like?
No, for sure. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know Nico's going to be involved there, and it seems like that's been continued through. No matter what the system, no matter what the play caller, CJ 7-12 is going to be there. CJ to Nico Collins, they have enough of a mind meld to get that to happen. But what happens when you have defenses that inevitably throw a majority of their weight and shift their defenses towards Nico Collins? That's the benefit of having a wide receiver of that caliber. It's one of the reasons why Amon-Ra St. Brown gets a little dicey with me personally, and maybe I'm being disrespectful. It's possible. I recognize that. But I look at wide receivers, and I rate the wide receivers the highest that force defenses to change the way that they play to gear up attention towards them, and Nico is absolutely in that. who are the people that you have that can step up in those spaces, particularly mm-hmm. in the red zone? Is it Dalton Schultz, right? Is it Jaden Higgins?
Yeah.
Who, I mean, is it possibly someone like a Christian Kirk or, you know, I don't even know who you would then, Braxton Berrios, who we saw in the red zone situation that you got in the first preseason game. Is it, you know, and are running. You utilizing speed?
And running.
And, or is it like the likes of Woody Marks or guys that, that out of the backfield? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do they get to various different ways of attacking in the red zone? I think that's a very fair point that I would love to get a feel for. That, as you mentioned, is probably more of another joint practice type situation.
Well, and let's think about it. If we're saying there's only going to be two or three more real opportunities, because let's be very clear about this. Going into the final preseason game, they're going to have probably 50, or if not more, of their entire 53 pretty much mind made up. So if you only have two or three more opportunities to prove these things, you know, we play the what if game on Wednesday. What if they don't? You know, what if it's, there's still, that's why it's so important to see these things. The next step, the joint practice yesterday widely was considered, you know, up and down. You had some good, you had some bad. If we're still in that place, you know, even going into the third preseason game, but obviously, especially going into, going into the opener against the Rams, we're going to have some real reluctance about this offense.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think
you are anyway.
I don't think you're going to get out of that space.
Yeah.
I think that there's going to be, because again,
I'll feel better though. The question is, what would make you feel better if these three things happen?
No, for sure. Yeah. For sure. And, I mean, if you continue to see, well, one of the things that make me feel better is, hey, get Cam Robinson healthy, get Trent Brown healthy, and let's see what is this the permutation you're throwing out there because of injury, or is this a permutation you're throwing out there because you like how it stands? Like, I want them to have the full complement, because the whole idea of this training camp was this offensive line will be better, obviously because of fundamentals and scheme, but they'll be better because of competition. You lose ability to compete when dudes are sitting on the sideline. Right, we're not getting competition in that way because you're missing some of the guys at the top end of your offensive line. So, yeah, that's, I mean, outside of what you're talking about, and clearly we're trying to talk about what's happened on the field, but it can't be ignored. And I like Tay getting his reps on the left side, but I think that part of having that is having those guys involved in the entirety of the situation.
No, you're right. Is there anything else that would just make you, because it's about the offense the rest of the way. I get safety is a question. We've talked about it. But
I still think corner depth is an interesting place that I want to watch.
But that's not with the ones necessarily. I mean, it might be tomorrow. But with the team that's going to trot out, you know, at SoFi, if you can run the ball and show something in the next two or three opportunities where you're going to have real, you know, real tackling, real hitting, et cetera. If you can maybe stretch the field a little bit and protect C.J. Stroud, we haven't seen it. We haven't seen a drop back pass, and there's that pocket, and he pats the ball. And he goes to his second look or his third look. You know, we haven't seen very much of it.
That's where it's tough that, unfortunately, we weren't able to actually be out there physically and see joint practice. But from all accounts, obviously, Seth.
Well, even the touchdown to Nico was boom, boom, boom. There he comes across the field. Got him.
Well, there's been some instances, and I mean, you even get the benefit of seeing this somewhat through videos the Texans put up. There's been instances and opportunities where the line is held up. I want to give them that credit, because in order for it to be up and down, we can't simply talk about
it. But I'm talking
down.
About when he's coming off there's a receiver been, and then looking at the next one.
Yeah, and
I'm talking about you need three full, if not 4 seconds.
Yeah, and to be fair, there were a number of kind of coverage type sacks or would-be sacks at joint practice.
Yeah.
That was more about the secondary for the Panthers than it was about their front line. Now, the front line isn't incredible. You always talk about Derrick Brown in the middle, obviously making havoc, but they held up decently in those situations passing wise. But is that going to be a consistent? Is that going to happen, as you mentioned, on clear pin your ears back downs? I think that there's obviously more stress testing that can be done for a level of confidence going into week one. But I do want to give them their props. They have lived up to kind of what the game plan has been for the Texans. I've always questioned how far that game plan takes you when it comes to what you want in the offensive line.
And
we'll see as they continue to do that. From the text line from the 832, there we go. How open are they with players who are on the bubble? Lopez, you want to answer this?
How open are they?
The Texans.
Like, what do you mean open?
How open, how much are they willing to give you on players who are on the bubble? If you're talking about explicitly telling you words, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, they've done some things that have given us some idea. Wide receiver room is one of those places that we've been really interested in. Xavier Hutchinson. I know that earlier this morning, Sean Pendergast was able, he said that with his whole chest, that Hutchinson is a lock, and I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. I like giving myself a little wiggle room, but I 95% chance that he's there. I mean, he's gotten run with the ones in a way that feels significant to where I'm looking at, is he going to have the opportunity to be a quote-unquote starter at times? So it does feel like you're getting some of those, so you're paring down what's happening that way. And I imagine if we start talking about just off the top of the dome, and I know that you have that roster in front of you, who's on the bubble in your mind? Because I know that obviously Mechie is on the bubble. I imagine Watson's probably on the bubble, and maybe Braxton Berrios on the bubble wide receiver.
I think Berrios is making the squad.
Okay.
Yeah. But just technically, I guess, you know, you would have to classify that because Mechie's been playing better. Obviously, Watson is in the mix. I would say Watson at this point.
You think he's odd man out?
Mm-hmm.
Or just like generally on the bubble?
Well, Watson and Mechie, it's between those two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other offensive ones that you go, all right, because wide receivers, I mean, linemen, it's kind of been.
Oh, well, Blake Fisher.
Well, yeah, he's clearly although it does feel, do you feel confident that they'd be willing to pull the trigger on getting rid of him for this
season?
Well,
as Sean would say, it'd probably be a trade, you know, but on the bubble for this squad.
I don't see it, man, because this is his second year, too.
Second round pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I just think being a GM, I don't think you could part ways with somebody that early.
Well, they have a lot of pride in a GM.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
They don't want to look bad.
Off the strength of that, I don't see them cutting.
I think he's on the bubble. I absolutely do.
I think he's a little more disappointing this year, but I don't know if he's on the bubble.
Yeah, we'll get some more telling data points. And again, that's one of the things that gets more telling if you have your guys healthy. If Trent Brown is available, if Cam Robinson is available, we get a little bit better idea.
That's a big factor.
Of how they feel about Blake. Defensively, I think it feels pretty cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you mentioned Jake Hansen. I imagine he's in that space where you talk
Hansen's
about.
Hansen's the best one right now.
Nick Neiman is in that same look. And then I'm intrigued as to how the cornerbacks fall between Tremont Smith. Well, Damon Arnette feels like he is the last in that group to me right now. And we'll continue to watch that. And D'Angelo Ross, those guys. But yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Excited for a noon kickoff there at NRG Stadium versus the Panthers tomorrow. I'll be out there bright and early because it's tailgate time, baby. It is that time. All right, coming up next, let's get into our lunchtime confessions. And I'm going to be honest, I'm already getting into the college football vibes. It's a little tease for me. We'll do that next.